Welcome to the living room of Pastor John and Kim Herb. We set it up so that it was like a look at what would be like in their home. They're going to have a conversation with another couple. They're going to go through some things, and then we will interact at our tables. So it's going to be great. So here we go.
Good evening. Let's give Ryan and Christine a big hand for and all of our helpers. Isn't this awesome? Well, my name is Pastor John Herb. This is my wife, Kim, better known as Cindy. And at least this time I remembered not to wear shorts to church, so that's a good thing. I have three kids. Ashley is over here with Sean. And then this is Colton and his wife, Morgan. And then Dakota and Kaylin. So it's good to have them here. And we have a church in Boiling Springs. It's probably about 50 or so people come out routinely. And some of them are here tonight. So if you're from the church in Boiling Springs, will you just stand up?
Ooh, shout out.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you guys for coming. We've been married for 31 years, and about 30 years ago, we got into the ministry with Pastor Ray and Brenda. Now, I'll let you do the math, but you can probably figure out what drove us to church. 31 years married, 30 years we've been in the ministry. So we ended up, our marriage drew us into the ministry. How old are you?
I'll be 30 on the 19th.
So maybe it was you that drove us to the ministry.
Not wrong.
So anyhow, we celebrated on the 10th of this month our anniversary. And, you know, a good time to celebrate your anniversary, we spent the night at home. She sat on her end of the couch. I sat on mine. She was hot. I was cold. We watched an old episode of Judge Judy, and we stayed up late till about 8:03 p.m. That's about as long as we can do anymore. It was almost as exciting as me saying I remembered to put the toilet seat down. But if you're here tonight and you are dating or engaged, will you stand? Ooh. Dating or engaged. Awesome. So we're praying for you. How about if you've been married less than 30 years? Would you stand? Less than 30 years. Wow. Awesome. And how about those greater than 30 years? Married greater than 30 years. Incredible. That is great. Well, between tonight and tomorrow, we hope to share from our marriage and really how we saw God in it. And at times, we were blind to what God was saying or doing in our marriage. You don't recognize sometimes what God's doing in your marriage. And then there's other times where the Holy Spirit just slaps you in the face and says, wake up. But we'll get a little bit more into that tomorrow. But tonight, we have my son Colton and his wife Morgan with us. And some things have changed since we were dating. When we were dating, you dated, you got engaged, and you got married. But now you text, talk, hang out, snap, tweet, and then it becomes Facebook official, right? So my first question for you guys is, like, what advice would you give couples contemplating marriage?
Run. No, don't run. No, it's not the way to place to start this. Don't run. I think number one really is, you know, everyone's looking to find the one, right? You know, you all pray to God, you know, God, bring me the one, you know? But I think first really is you need to make sure you have a proper vertical with God for yourself. That's number one. Like, you got to make sure that's right, because if that's not right, it's not going to go very well this way. It's not going to work out that well if my vertical isn't correct, right? I think that's really number one. I think the second thing, anybody have face ID on this? This thing's nuts sometimes. Here it goes. Also, number two, really, that I thought of as well is make sure it's God's timing. You know what I mean? Sometimes we rush into things. Well, or you compare yourself to other people's relationships, right? Well, these people are dating, so I should be dating. I'm 30 years old, so I should have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Make sure it's God's timing, because you could be doing something that's not in God's plan. You know what I mean? You could be trying to be God in your life, and that's not your role. And the second thing, or actually the third thing, is just finally just to pray. You know, constantly praying for God to give you that person. And I think sometimes we can fabricate, well, this girl talked to me at church, so she's definitely the one. You know what I mean? She leaned forward and I leaned forward during the prayer, and I know it. That was the sign that she was the one. And I think it's just really important just to pray. Really, like we said, make sure it's God's timing, but ultimately make sure you have the proper vertical with God.
Yeah, I would just add on to that and say I think that, like, having that relationship with God first is important. And, like, I don't know about all the other ladies in here, but, like, for me personally, I was like, oh, I can't wait to get married. Like, I can't. Like, I just kept, like, pushing it and rushing it. And, like, it's important to be patient, too, and to just pray and pray for that patience, too, because when the time is right and when God's time is right, it will come. But it has to be the right person. It has to be the person that God has for you. And if you have that proper relationship with God first, it will happen in God's timing.
Beautiful. So when you think about a relationship, most relationships start with some form of a connection, a relatable one, right? One to another. And relate in the Latin is refero, and it means to produce, to bring back, to restore, or to have a reference point, or connected by blood. So when we relate one to another, we do so through a central point. And in 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 24, the first calling is to repentance. And those that have repented and have received Christ now have the ability to relate to one another in a manner that they didn't have before. So when we receive Christ, now there's this new relationship that's been created, and now there's a new way that we can relate to one another. And number one is to now we can think with God through the Holy Spirit, because we now have the Holy Spirit in us, and now we can relate and think with God through the Holy Spirit. Number two is by thinking these thoughts, we can now experience His life. So through thinking those thoughts, we can now experience the life of Christ. And then number three, the experiential application of the thought, it produces a relationship with Him in the five parts of the soul. So now we have this relationship with Christ, and we have it in the five parts of the soul. So if I find somebody else that has that same relationship with Christ, there's now a central point or a way that we can relate one to another. And, you know, this is one of the biggest reasons for divorce, because people stop relating one to another. They stop that relationship. It's kind of like if you think of a Tinder post, right? I like long walks on the beach. I like the smell of fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies. And puppies. We all love puppies, don't we? Right? And you think of those things, and you say, well, I like long walks on the beach. And I like cookies. And I like puppies, right? But what happens? What happens? The puppy becomes a dog, you eat the chocolate chip cookies, and before long you weigh 300 pounds and nobody wants to go to the beach, right? And so you stop relating one to another in those things that you related to one another when you were dating or when you were engaged, and it changes in your marriage, those things that you relate one another to. So the relationship needs to be based really on a godly foundation, because God does not change, does He? No. So if we relate to one another in and through God, then that relationship with God is how we can relate one to another. And it's beautiful when you think about it. So one of the key things that we talk to any couple about when they're thinking about getting married is that you need to be equally yoked one to another. And that's really what that relationship is built on. being equally yoked. We always say, have you received Christ? Have both of you received Christ? Because then you have that central point. You have that thing. You have a foundation in Jesus Christ as our point of reference. And when you think of points of reference, think of a point of reference as like the cross, as like the blood, the sinless life that Christ led. And those things become connected. Those points become connected by the lines of doctrine that were taught from the pulpit. And as we receive those lines of doctrine, connect to the points of reference, and it creates a frame of reference. Just like building a house, if you think about it, with a connection of the four corners of the house and then the roof, that's a frame of reference. And the points and the lines of doctrine go together to build that frame of reference. And when we have a frame of reference, then those things, that frame of reference that we have, is like having some great reference materials in your library, right? Like we have our Bible, right? But then maybe you have a Strong's Concordance, and maybe you have a Noah's Webster's 1828 dictionary. And those things that are materials that are on your shelf, and they're great reference materials, and we draw from them. We draw from them as a reference, and we relate to them, and we correlate them with what we know from Scripture. Well, in us, in our frame of reference, then, we can relate to one another. We can draw from one another as we relate our life circumstances and correlate those things to Scripture. If I am relating to Christ and she's relating to Christ, there is consistency as a basis for us to relate to one another. We can relate to each other through Jesus Christ. See, many times we relate to each other through circumstances and through many other things, and certainly we all have details of life to deal with. But when we are drawing from the same well in John 4:14, we spring up and the water flows out, and then others can drink from it without even being conscious of it. So I want to ask you if you have any examples maybe you can give us.
I have a lot of examples. I was thinking about how Colton was saying about having your vertical with God, and not every relationship starts out like that. John and I were saved, but we weren't following after God. We were backslidden. I don't even think we knew that we were backslidden when we came into the ministry. But it's God is so faithful. And what I love about it is God had a plan for us, even though we had a different plan, you know, and God's plans and his ways are so greater than ours. And so when we got together, my plan wasn't to check to make sure he was saved and I was saved. And if he had a correct vertical and I had a correct vertical, God dealt with us immediately. And it was so incredible. We were married February 10th and March. I'm a crier. That's why I have this box of tissues here. So I just apologize, because marriage will break you, and it's good. It's good, but it will break you. Okay. So if you're not broken, you will be if you get married. But anyhow, March 30th, he was in a car accident, and he had to have a halo put on his head with bars that came down over his chest. And we were just newly married. I had a beautiful daughter, Ashley. She was 5, probably 6 by then. And I get this call that he's in the hospital. I go, and he has a weight on his on the halo because he had broken his neck. And at the time, it was so terrible. Like, it was like God, I mean, we weren't even thinking God. I don't even remember praying, God, just save him. Just let everything be okay. I don't remember anything about God, because I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a morally good home. So I didn't understand the things of God. I was saved at a young age because my grandparents were Seventh-day Adventists and they believed in salvation. But anyhow, through that happening and him not being able to work, and we were just married and we were so broke, and I'm working at Haas as a waitress, and who do you think walks in the door for me to train but Brenda Kosciolek? And it was like God not only allowed that situation, because I believe God allowed that situation because we were headed down a really bad path, and God had to allow a situation to help us, to turn us. And I didn't see it as that until Brenda stepped into my life, and she walked around with a smile on her face all the time, and I was miserable, and I was pregnant with Colton. And all I could say to her was, why are you smiling? Like, what are you smiling about? And she shared Christ with me, and I connected myself to her, and I never left her side. And she used to say that I was like a little lamb that she just would feed, and I just kept taking it and taking it because there was life in what she was feeding me. There wasn't life in what John and I were doing before we met the ministry. There wasn't life in it. We were doing what was right in our own eyes. We were doing the things that I thought was right and how I was raised. And so I started coming to church without him. He did not want anything to do with the ministry. He wanted to go right down the street where it was only 5 minutes away. And I started going to the Bible studies, and he started seeing the change in me. And then the next thing you know, John starts coming. He comes one time, and he's like, I'm never coming back. There's no bulletin. These people are raising their hands. They're too huggy. Like, what is wrong with these people? And I'm like, well, whatever. You don't have to go, but I'm still going. And eventually, he just started coming, and God just, you know, and something I want to say is, even though we didn't recognize how depraved we were, God used John to love me when I couldn't love myself. And I didn't love myself. Everything was based on what I had externally, but I was dying on the inside. And John came along and met me, not even knowing it. Looking back now is absolutely amazing because he met me right where I was at. And he just loved me until I could love myself, and I learned to love myself with God's love. And God had a greater plan for us, and he didn't waste any time. He took care of things right off the bat within, what, a month?
Go ahead. So a great piece of trivia. How many years did I say we were married? 31, right? 31 years ago, we were married. Before we got married, I was in the office one night at Bob's Big Boy where we met, and there was a two-way piece of glass in the office, and I looked out through the two-way piece of glass, and another manager was in there with me, and I said, I would marry any of those women out there but Kim Herb. Well, Skip Holtzman at the time.
I found that out after we were married.
Thank God. All right, so now we want you to have just a little bit of table talk. Between yourselves, okay, what are some of the practical ways to purpose to keep Christ in your relationship? So talk about that a little bit at your table. What are some of the practical ways to purpose to keep Christ in your relationship? And then somebody's going to go around, and maybe a couple of you could share some of the ways that you came up with.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to share from their table? Raise your hand if you'd like to share something. Here we go.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks so much. The question was about being very practical in your relationship, and can that practicality actually usher in the life of Christ so that he can do the job in us? And one of the things that we have in our life is really, if you have a understanding and an application of the forgiveness of God every day with one another, yeah. Not limiting or excluding forgiveness no matter what, but but recognizing the forgiveness that you've had from Christ for everything. And if you bring that into your marriage, into your relationship every single day, it opens the avenues of heaven to pour life into your marriage and into your relationship, and that is a very key practical application.
Wow. Thank you. Anybody else?
Thanks, Ryan. I love what Pastor Linga just shared, because most important thing in marriage is to, like, let things roll off your back. You know, there's no place in a marriage to hold a grudge. Mm. You know, you can be angry. There's no problem with that, you know. But do not sin, right? So, you know, in loving our wives, I think the most important thing is to build them up. I mean, what is it to say, hey, honey, you look beautiful today? You know, just be edifying and love one another as Christ loved you. I mean, that's, you know, it's relationships are like, you just got to roll. I don't know how to simplify it as much as I can, but rolling off of one another, bouncing off of one another, it's like, but I love what Pastor Helenga shared about forgiveness. Because if you can't forgive one another, you better hang it up, because you're going to have problems. You know, you got to be able to forgive one another. Especially how she forgave me today after I was yelling today, you know, but because I get emotional, you know. And the Italians here, my last name is Hayes, my mother's maiden name was Succelli, and I tend to get emotional, you know, and when I lose it, I lose it, you know. But yeah, that's really all I have with that. But sharing with, you mentioned something that triggered in my, I'm 31 years married. And in, thank you. In 1988, before we had this property, I walked into Overly High School where we were having, you know, we were having service at Overly High School. And I wasn't married. And I was kind of like asking God, you know, God, I want somebody. You know, I need a helpmate, you know. And so I walked in the service, and Pastor Randy Rollins happens to be standing in the back. And at that time, he wasn't a pastor. But and I went to him and said, hey, Randy, how you doing? He said, fine. And I said, he goes, you seem funny tonight. What's wrong? I said, nah, I'm kind of tired of the single life, you know, Randy. Just kind of tired of it. I wish God would, you know, just put someone in my path. So he points to Diane. He points to Diane, and he says, look at her. She just got back from, you know, Naples, Italy, a missionary and everything. And I looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? Well, a year later, we were married. So, praise God. Thank you.
God does work in mysterious ways, doesn't he? So, hey, guys, I have another question for you here. What was it like going from me to we, and what would you consider is important to tell people?
I'd say we're definitely still working on that. I think, you know, not speaking for all women, but as a 21st century woman, I like to do things for myself. And I had my own job before we were married. I had my own place before we were married. I paid my own bills before we were married. I kept my place clean. Everything was nice. Everything was orderly. Going from me to we was a little bit difficult. No, but I think it's important just to trust God through it all. And, like, you know that God chose the partner for you for a reason. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he chose you for me for a reason, for sure. Like, I always had my own way of doing things, and my way was always the right way, and it's hard to give that up. But I think you just have to be patient and pray, and you grow from that, and you learn to communicate with your partner. But then in addition to that, Colton is very much like fly by the seat of his pants. Like, he will do whatever, whenever, doesn't matter. He's just very like, woo, go with the flow. I'm very much like, I need a date, a time, and I need to put it on my calendar. And I need to know how much it costs too, so I can budget for it. And he's not like that. So, but it's amazing because Colton can do whatever, and Colton just goes wherever he's led, and it just works out. It just always works out for him 100% of the time. So, like, for me, a lot of going from me to we is realizing that maybe my way isn't always the right way, and maybe God has a greater plan for me than me just paying my bills on time and cleaning my house and working at my job, my 9-to-5. And maybe God has called us somewhere greater, and God has a bigger plan for us than that. So I think just knowing that God is faithful and that he's leading us along the way has been a great part of going from me to we, and just trusting that God has a plan for us in that.
That's pretty good. I'll be honest, I don't pick up after myself all the time. All right, it's truthful. I live out of my clothes basket. I don't put my clothes in the drawers. It's a real thing. The clothes basket has my clothes. Why put them away? I'm going to wear them anyhow. They're in the basket. Makes sense. Why put them away if I'm going to put them back on anytime soon? We all get it. Come on, boys. We know. Why put it away? I'm going to wear it. I mean, I only have so many clothes. I don't have a closet full of them. I have like 4 shirts. I think really for it, just to think it through is just like God's faithfulness. You know, it's just like amazing. Yeah, it's amazing just to watch God work. Because sometimes I think it's tough. Let's all be real. It's tough, you know? We've been married for 2 years. I don't write stuff down, so it's kind of rough on me sometimes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, 2 years, and I think it's just awesome to watch God work through the whole thing, you know. And I think God also gives you the desires of your heart. You know, there was a year ago, to give a little honesty, there was a year ago we were sitting at the marriage seminar down at Inner Harbor. And we did those prayer cards. And the year before that, I didn't take it seriously. I didn't do my prayer card, right? Yeah, we did. No, well, I didn't do it seriously in that aspect. But that last year we did. I think we really took it seriously. I came to the marriage seminar. My job sucked. I didn't want to do it anymore. I was traveling constantly. We didn't get to spend much time together. I was away for 3 weeks at a time. I was home for a week. And then we wanted to get a house. Everybody wants to get a house, you know, when you get married, buy a house. So that was something as well. So we put these things down in this prayer card, and it was amazing to watch those get answered. Like crazy. Like buying a house in the middle of COVID. Like, that's unheard of. It was wild.
I will say they didn't necessarily get answered the way I planned for them to get answered. Colton, this initially it started because of the whole pandemic. So our first request was that Colton didn't have to travel for work anymore. Well, guess what? When there's a pandemic, people don't need people to travel and sell underwater treadmills. That's not a thing anymore. So he lost his job, but it answered our prayers. So he was home with me.
God works in mysterious ways around too. No, but it was good, and I just think that's really, she really hit it home, and it's just God's faithful. You know what I mean? And I don't take that lightly in your relationship. You may think, like, this isn't going right now, you know. We've been married for 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. But God is faithful, and he's doing stuff in your life that you would not even have imagined. You know, I see people sitting around here, and it's funny. Like, I'm sitting up here right now, but I think of, like, camp life. Right? I always think of like when we do an event, it's like camp life all over again. I see faces that I went with that camp, right? I see Nick sitting out here. I see Micah. I see, you know what I mean? I see Liz. I see Kales. You know, you see these people that you went to camp life with. Now they're married, right? And now they're grown. And I think it's just amazing how God has taken us from one point of when we were single or whatever the case may be and brought us this far. Now we have Pastor Justin preaching in Fed Hill. Like, come on. Let's go. Like, you know what I mean? That's just amazing to see coming from, he's in Peru. Now he's back in Baltimore. It's just amazing to see how God works and how faithful he is to the whole thing.
Amen. It's almost like you said, what's interesting is that many times we can think of marriage as the, you know, the house with the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids, and, you know, this is what life is supposed to be. And then God takes that whole thing and shakes it, right? And he changes it, and then how God can then take that and Pastor Ray used the term a divine reversal. He can take something that seems like it's crazy and turn it around. But I think one of the main ways we can go from me to we is through identification. And identification speaks of mental orientation that regards or relates to something or someone, resulting in a response. And so it's this identification with someone else. The connection will lead one into the attaining, either consciously or unconsciously, of gratification, support, and relief. And it will lead the thoughts, feelings, and actions. So really, proper identification is with Christ. And Paul knew this when he said, it's no longer I, but what? Christ in me. See, he was identifying not with himself, but he was identifying with Christ in him. And proper identification will lead us into compassion in Philippians 2:1 and 1 Peter 3:8, which means that then Christ is enthroned on the heart and not self, but it's also not her. See, I have to have Christ enthroned on my heart in the same way she has to have Christ enthroned on her heart. Even though I love her, but she can't be the person that's enthroned on my heart. I can't live my life for her, right? And in the same way, she can't live her life for me. I live my life for Christ, who loves her and cares for her, but also who loves and cares for me. So we don't lose our individuality, the me, right? We still remain individuals because that's who God made us to be. He made you as an individual because you are perfect in his eyes, and you have a portion that no one else has. And I look around the room and I think of these portions and I think of this representation of the body of Christ tonight and how important your portion is to the body. And so we don't lose the individuality because God made us that way with a purpose and a plan, but then we come together through identification as we. So it's not me, but it's we. And this usually takes a breaking process. And as we were preparing, we looked through some old notes we have from an old friend. Her name was Brenda. And in her notes, she had this written: an independent spirit is living like you don't need anyone. And the root is they are not broken in an area or areas of life. See, our relationship went through that process. We had to have a breaking process. But through that death, there was life. There was life on the other side of the death. And the main reason I believed that occurred was so that we could turn to Christ in a new and fresh way in our relationship. Any examples?
I was just thinking when you were saying identification. Many of us identify with so many different things, and especially if you maybe weren't raised up in this ministry. I'm sure many of you were. I don't know all of you. Like Colton said, a lot of you came from Camp Life. You know, he knows you from Camp Life. You grew up in the ministry. But from my point of view, when he says that, like, I got married out of a need. I didn't get married like because I thought God was going to do this great thing in my life. I got married out of a need, and many people do get married out of a need, and they expect that partner, that other person, to fill that need for them. And as women, we are insatiable, and there is no man that's ever going to be able to fill that need. And they may try and try, but all it leads to is frustration and exhaustion, and sometimes even bitterness, to the point where I will never make her happy, or vice versa. And so I think it's so important that we do identify with Christ and that we do understand the importance of having a vertical. And I was sitting here thinking, as he's reading these things, if somebody could have shared this with me 31 years ago and I would have understood it, how I would have been spared from so many things. But then I thought, thank God I wasn't spared from all those things, because you can learn so much from someone that has been married 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And there's so many young people sitting here that God is going to do an amazing work in your life and in your marriage. And he is going to use every situation that you go through to minister life to someone else. You don't go through anything that you go through for yourself. And I know that you might think, whatever situation you're in right now, that you might not be able to see the end, the light at the end of the tunnel. But God is faithful, like Colton said. He is so faithful. And one day you're going to be able to share with someone that needs that life, because these breaking moments in our life is so that he can pour life out to other people.
No, that's good. Just to add to that, my thought on that is God is preparing us for something greater. You know what I mean? Constantly. Like now in Carlisle, I lead up the youth ministry. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever think I was leading up the youth ministry. I was a kid and I'm still a kid, which kind of works out perfect in that game. It works out great. But I never, if you'd have asked me 10 years ago, where I was 10 years ago to where I am now, I would have absolutely not. I'm not doing that. I'm not leading up the youth. You know what I mean? So God is preparing you as couples in you don't even know where it could be. You could be overseas sometime. You know, we're going to be mission field somewhere. We're going to go to Africa. We're going to be in Malawi like the Armins. You know what I mean? I love the Armins. Shout out to Armins. But we could be in Africa like the Armins. You know what I mean? We could be anywhere in the world. God could take us. Or we could be here in our local ministry. And I think God is preparing us for big things. And the second thing that I thought of, which is like so crucial, is to make sure your expectation is of God. You have to. That's so big. Like, I think sometimes we make expectations like, she's going to do so much for me. That's my expect. She's going to fulfill, like my mom was saying, all of my needs and all everything in my life. She's going to be the one. And time and time, and she thought the same thing probably about me at certain points. He's going to check all the boxes for me. Let me tell you what, I probably unchecked half of them already down the road. You know what I mean? Just to be honest. But I think it's amazing that our expectation needs to be of God constantly. We need to understand that constantly, because then that allows me to, when I can just receive that. Yeah. I know where my expectation isn't of Morgan. It's not of her. It's of God the whole way through. So it's amazing.
Amen. So we're going to go into another table talk, and this is your subject or question. What's some strategies couples can use to go from me to we? What strategies can you use to go from me to we? Okay. Hopefully you guys came up with some good strategies at your tables you were able to share with each other. But we're going to go on to our next question, and it's this. So it sounds like everyone can run into difficulties, right, like in their relationship. So how do you manage that? How do you manage difficulties?
I'm just going to start, because Colton told me, I'm just going to lead with this example. When we first got married, I thought I had to do everything myself because he didn't know. So, like, I'm talking, I was cleaning up after dinner. I was doing all the laundry. I was folding all the laundry. I was putting all the laundry away. I was cleaning the whole, I mean, we live in an apartment, but I was cleaning the whole apartment. I was cleaning the bathroom. I was doing all this stuff. And I'm like, why aren't you helping me? What is the issue? But he didn't know. Like, Colton, and I think some men, just in general, they don't see the need in the household. So, and like Colton, I used to get so upset, I would just start crying. I'm like, why don't you see this? Why can't you just pick up the dishes and put it in the dishwasher? He's like, I don't know. Like, just completely honest, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't look for things to do. He's like, you just have to tell me what you need. I'm like, I never thought that in getting married, I would have to tell my husband, okay, can you please help me clean up the dishes and put the dishes in the dishwasher now? Okay, the laundry's in the washer. Can we move it to the dryer now? Can we fold the laundry now? But men need that. Not all men. My man does. But you just, in general, you have to communicate and you have to tell your partner what you need, and not even in like a demeaning or a degrading way, just, hey, I need help with this. Like, just be honest. Just be real with them. communicate openly and honestly, and they'll be there to support you.
All right. That sounded bad.
You help me now.
Right, right. We've definitely improved from that moment. We definitely put the clothes in the hamper, at least get it close enough to it, that we know that it's in the dirty area now. It's like a Target. As long as it's within 3 foot of that hamper.
We're improving.
Thank you. Thank you. The other thing I think to add to that is just making sure that we communicate properly. You know what I mean? Like she was saying, like there's a way to communicate to somebody, especially your wife. I mean, I think there's proper ways to communicate to people, and doing it respectfully, right? There's a lot of ways that I can tell by the tone of her voice when maybe I'm in trouble or something like that. But you have to respect the other person. That really is a game changer. And one other thing that I was thinking about, where sometimes you get into difficulty, is you always think you're right, right? I mean, as a guy, like, I know it. Like, I know what to do. I saw it on HGTV. I can tear this wall out, no problem. I'll put those can lights in. We're ready to rock and roll, right? I punch a hole through that wall. I don't know what's going on. There's water going everywhere. Hit the line, plumbing, everything's going wild, right? Ceiling falls in the kitchen or whatever the case may be. But I think really in that is to be able to be teachable. Be teachable from both sides of that table. Be teachable. My mom, which... I'll let you say that. Just be teachable. I mean, from both sides, because I think, I'm going to say it because it makes sense for my stuff, that my mom one time told my dad, I hear from God too. And it's funny. You think about it like, really? You do? Like, I'm not the only one? Right? Like, you think that's like, it's funny. But it's true. You know what I mean? And sometimes we're the only ones that God's, oh, yeah, I'm the only one that hears from God. Where you have, no, we're direct line. We're good. Just press one. I get right to him, right? But sometimes that's not the case. God speaks to your wives. God speaks to them. And it's amazing to watch that and, like, just play out in our lives, because I think, especially being younger, like, being married at this point, it's a lot different than being married at 30 years, because I'm still learning. You know what I mean? I don't know it all. I really don't. And sometimes she tells me, which is great. You know what I mean? Properly. And great communication. But she tells me sometimes because I need it. Because sometimes I think I know it all or I want to do it all myself. But then, like she was saying before, it runs you into the ground. It runs you into the ground. You're not asking for help. They're a helpmate to us. And I think sometimes we don't, like, we try to just do it ourselves and we burn ourselves out. It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. Yeah, that's what I have to add.
No, can I just say one more thing? I think, like, with... communication goes hand in hand with teachability, because sometimes you're the teacher and then sometimes you're being taught. And it's important that no matter what you're saying, that it's honest and it's open and it's real, but you have to be really careful that you're not attacking the other person in that too. And you have to sometimes, if it's a topic that you're really sensitive about or that you know that they're sensitive about, you have to pray a lot about it and just make sure that it's being addressed appropriately, and that you're not, because you really want to make sure that you're not pushing your partner away.
Yeah, that's good. When you think about, this is a great example that I used recently. Think about you're driving in a lane of traffic and there's somebody beside you and they come over, right, and they cut you off, and you say to yourself, I guess they didn't put turn signals in that model car, right? Like, that's kind of, you know, you're nice about it, though, right? You don't, right? No gestures or anything, so. But why are you mad? Why are you mad? Because they didn't use their turn signal. They didn't communicate that they were coming over into your lane. And a lot of times in marriages, we have our own lanes, right? We have our own lanes. We're traveling down our lanes. Everybody's tooling along. Then all of a sudden, she comes over in my lane, and she didn't use her turn signal. And we got a problem. Right? But if you use your turn signal, right, and you communicate, hey, I'm coming over in your lane now. You know, I'm coming over. That's that communication. And that's why communication is so important. And the thing you said about... that she hears from God too. That was one of those Holy Spirit slaps that I got one time. You know, you need those once in a while. Just, oh, yeah, okay, I guess she does. But let me call it as I see it. Men and women are different, are they not? Huh? They are different, right? We all agree with that. And I came to that realization one time when I was standing in the shower and I pulled out my bottle of hair and body wash. I need one bottle. It does everything, right? One bottle, hair and body wash. Then I started counting the remaining bottles that were in the shower. 13. God only knows what those 13 bottles were for. But because men and women are different, there can be difficulties. And let me give you an example. She says to me, "What are you thinking?" And my response is nothing. Why? Because I'm not thinking of anything, right? But she thinks that it can't be correct because her mind's running like the 695-95 junction up here. It's like, right? And you say, okay, well, I saw this recently. It said, walk a mile in my shoes. No, spend 30 seconds in her head, because women are constantly thinking. At least Kim is constantly thinking. She's like 20 miles down the road and I'm still in what's for dinner. But this amazing thought is God wants us to use those differences so that we complement one another. So it's a complementary relationship. And it's one of the ways that two become one flesh. Before there was GPS, and I know some of you are shocked that there was a time before there was GPS, right? There was a time where you had to go by reference points, right? You go down to the sheets and you make a right, then you go this far, you make a left at McDonald's or whatever the gas station is. One time we got lost in South Carolina on vacation and I stopped and asked this guy at this grocery store for directions. He says, well, you go down there a piece and then you make a left. And then you know where Jim Bob's Beaver got hit at? Yeah, that's where you make a right. Then you go, and I'm like, okay, forget it. This isn't going to work. Right? But Proverbs 21:1 says, God directs the paths of life as the water's course. And where the water goes, it produces life. The wilderness land becomes a fruitful field. And sometimes we feel like we're in that wilderness land, but if we water it, the water comes, it can become a fruitful field. And God wants to take the wilderness of our relationships and go through them and turn them into fruitful fields. Pastor Schaller said this, when we open the scripture, we can see beyond the veil in Deuteronomy 29:29. And we can see who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, and it can be made manifest in our relationships. So sometimes in relationships, we have to see beyond the veil. We have to see past the problem, past the weakness, past the failure. And the connection in the relationship is in reference to something or someone, so regard it. So it's through that connection you can refer back and draw back to that point and come back to that central point. Amen? You have an example you want to use?
I just want to share this quickly. When he was saying about communication, I think it's huge with women. Always want to know what the husband's thinking. They want him to talk to them. They want him to, you know, discuss everything. And some men are talkers and some men aren't. But communication is really huge, because I think when you don't communicate in a marriage, there's misunderstanding and you leave room for error, and that's when Satan can get in. And I just think it's really important to talk to each other. And I love, and I want to say this too, I love that I'm just as broken as Morgan is, and she's 2 years into her marriage, and I'm 31 into my marriage. But I love my daughter-in-laws, because I have been able to share so much of what I've gone through with them. And Morgan and I are like, honestly, like twins. And it's so cute, because I raised Colton, you know, I know the things. And right here's his twin, you know, but you know what? God blessed me with this man. This man has edified me and built me up our whole marriage. And you know, I've said this before, this is so important to build each other up. He has never, ever, ever like called me a name when he was mad. And I'm not saying that to condemn anybody or to feel shameful or anything. I'm just saying that like he really, truly understands unconditional love. like agape love. Like he understands that. And I am just so grateful for him and his life. And even though he drives me absolutely crazy, he has blessed me so much. And God, we are so opposite, but God has used us together. We have become one. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I couldn't have said that. Like, we'll share more tomorrow of what really has happened in our marriage to bring us to this point. But I'm so thankful for him.
All right. So I think we're at a point, Ryan, where we want to take a break, right? Okay, so maybe at your tables you could ask this question. Should you and when should you ask for help in your marriage? And who should you ask for that help from? Who should you go to for help? So share maybe that at your tables a little bit, and then we're going to take a couple minute break so we have a transition of some people that need to go.
I like the theme today, and... I'm just married, like I'm new, got married like 4 years, and how many of you know the story of Martha? Martha, how you say it? Sometimes it's like all the men can become like Martha, so don't pull your fault to your wife, because they're great. And because especially today, like I praised God and watched Super Bowl, I don't know what is that, but. But don't forget to take your wife to dinner. That is so important. And, yeah, important. And just don't do that once a week, but you can do that every day. Cook for her. That is so important too. Especially if you don't know how to cook, just start with eggs.
Yeah, that is important, right? Spending time together, because I think what can happen if you don't spend time together and spend time together as a couple... Eventually, you know, kids come in the picture, then 18 years later, you're like, just what just happened? You know, like your head starts to spin. So it is important, I think.
We have somebody else. I'm going to go over there. I'm getting my steps in today.
Okay. In reference to seeking counsel during your marriage, I'm still in the honeymoon stage. We've been married 18 months and 12 days. So seeking counsel at this point is not an issue. Hopefully it will never become one. But before I got married, I was looking for people who I trusted, and I didn't grow up in this ministry. I grew up in another ministry, and the pastor's name, the head of that ministry, was Gary Payton. And I sought him. He was a person who I knew. He was a spiritual man. It was somebody that I trusted. And there were men in this church, in this ministry, that I trusted, that I talked with, that I sought counsel from before we were married. So I guess to answer that question is just to look around, pray, and I think God will put somebody in your path that you know and that you trust.
You just get to a point where, so you're in your marriage and you get to a wall. There's a wall there. And we all face it, because there's the me, we, like you guys are saying. And you realize in Romans chapter 7, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do want to do, I don't. And we're like in this dilemma. And you just, the first thing is to admit you have a problem. And then once you do, go to God. And I go to, you know, faithful men in this ministry, Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Jason, and, you know, people I trust that I watch. And just to admit that you need help. And that's the beginning point right there.
I think sometimes when we have problems in our marriage and stuff, I think the first thing we have to do is we have to quiet ourselves, because as women, we hear a lot of voices in our heads and stuff. So when we have difficulty and stuff, it's a lot of times it's because we're not listening to what's being said straight from the pulpit, because our first counseling comes from the pulpit ministry. And if you're called to that pulpit, then you should know that you can trust the words that are coming from it. And then you take that, and then you take it as your own in meditation and stuff. So first of all, a lot of times when we're having difficulty, It's because we didn't stop and listen, and we're not listening to the voice of the master. And then after that, if it continues on, because sometimes you do need a little bit extra help and stuff, but you have to let God keep you humble and teachable. And then if you do have to go somewhere, it should never be to your girlfriends or, you know, and just because that's just gossip. And it's a lot of times we're maligning our husbands or whatever. You got to be very careful of that. So if you do go, you should go together to the pastor and a wife. And if you need counseling, and then just hear from God, you know, and then give yourself grace. You know, you always have to give yourself grace. And remember that God put a little part of you that nobody else can fill but God. So don't expect your husband or your wife to fill it. You know, so if there is difficulty, just stop first and listen. And if you listen and you quiet yourself, you'll hear the small voice of God. So...
I think that was so amazing what she had just said. I remember there was a booklet written by one of the pastors in the church called Meditation, the Answer to All Things. And sometimes one of the pastors gave an example that a married couple came in the office for help. And because of that principle of hearing from the pulpit and because of letting them, the couple actually do some speaking, they figured out the problem, and it was answered, and it really didn't even need to become a problem anymore. And I like that about the marriage from the pulpit, you know, from the pulpit, the answer is there. And it does sometimes dissolve, you know, when you're hearing from God like that.
We have Pastor Stevens' booklet, and I cut these out, and I keep them in the back of my notebook as a reminder, but he gives these five aspects of eternal counseling. Number one, the ultimate counselor is Christ. Number two, the ultimate counsel is doctrine. Number three, the ultimate help and counsel is the Holy Spirit. Number four, the ultimate premise for counsel is grace. And number five, the ultimate motive for counsel is love. And I thought those were beautiful when you think about them and it relates to counseling. And I think sometimes we can fear counseling, right? And Kim and I, at one point, went to Pastor Ray and Brenda, and we said, we need counseling. We need to speak to you. And we went out to eat, and I'm expecting, like, this amazing, like, you know, thing to tell me, like, you know, he's going to fix my problem. He's going to tell me everything I need to know. And he's going to, you know, straighten me out. I need straightened out. So his counseling was, take it to the cross. And that was it. And it's like, come on, give me a little more than that, right? Give me a little something here. And that was it. And, you know, and when you really boil it down to it, that's what it comes down to, right? Take it to the cross. Just take it to the cross. Because when we take it to the cross, there's a death to that thing, and there's a life on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And we need to get to the life.
I want to say this. It made me just think of, John just did a message about people want the life without going through the cross. And we all, just what he said, there's life on the other side of that. And you can't fix your marriage. You can't fix your husband. We talk to so many people that are struggling in their marriages, and it's all many, I mean, it's different ages, different years, you know, married, and it's like they're always trying to fix each other or trying to find a solution, or like he said, he just wanted Pastor Ray to give him an answer. And God is the answer. The pulpit is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. And taking it to the cross. And that's hard when, like, probably for Morgan and I, who just want to fix the situation. You know, if he would just act right, it would make us be able to be better, you know? people think that way. If he would just do this, I could do this, and life would be great. But that's not how God works. God is working something in our lives through every situation.
All right, what we want to do now is give you a scenario to talk through at your table. And the first scenario is this. Dan and Jenny are dating, and Jenny had other boyfriends. How does Dan get past Jenny's past? How does Dan get past Jenny's past? So talk about that a little bit at your table.
All right. How did it go at your tables? Was it good? Good answers? I can say as an answer to the question, in our marriage, we went through premarital counseling. We had the questions, and actually it was really good because it asked us questions that we probably wouldn't have thought of or asked ourselves or wanted to answer. And I think I don't know what the exact question was, but one of the questions led us to answer hard things about our past on both sides. But for me, I could say that I chose not to care what happened in her past. And I think that was because God, I think naturally I would care about it. And naturally, those issues could pop back up, like some things in her past, let's say, that happened before she was saved, or even when she was saved, or she was living a different life. For me, she was more important than the past was. So I didn't care about that. And I let God deal with that in me. So she told me things. It absorbed, you know, because of course, maybe you're hearing something and you're just like, oh, God. Now, I'm not saying like she had this crazy past, but there are things that happen. We will be going to counseling after this. But what I will say is that she is not the person she was in her past. So I knew that, and I didn't care about the past. And I mean, some of her answers, I thought some of her answers were going to be worse than they were. I don't know. But, you know, so, you know, the hard questions are good questions to ask. And I would say to the people that are dating or thinking about getting married, these are questions you should ask, and you should be ready for the answer, and you should be ready to go to God with that answer that you receive, because it might not be what you want to hear, and it might not be what you expected from them. But that's not the person you're marrying. And I have a past too, you know? And we make mistakes all the time. So forgiveness is important, and I think taking it to God and saying, like, she is more important than this thing that happened in the past or this decision she made in the past, because she's forgiven, she's asked for forgiveness, and it's not my place to not accept that, because God forgave her, so why do I hold it against her? And it didn't happen to me. Like, it didn't happen when we were together, so it doesn't matter. So that's my answer. I guess we'll move to the next question. And so they might not give you answers to the questions that they're asking us now. It's to provoke us to talk to each other. They may interject, they may not. We may come ask specific people for an answer, like I might come to somebody, but don't expect a full answer from them up here. This portion is for us to talk to each other at the tables based on scenarios that they're going to give us. Okay?
I think for that one, though, the one thing that comes to my mind is those things that are behind are what? Behind, right? Those things that are behind are behind. So we look forward onto the author and finisher of our faith, right? So those things that are behind, we leave behind, and we look forward onto Jesus Christ. So that's a great thought. So the next scenario is this. Tom and Darla have two very separate ideas of what is and whose responsibility in the relationship. How do they learn to serve one another? How do they learn to serve one another? So take that one for a minute.
I'm going to just share here a minute about what the question was. Say the question again, John. Okay. The question was, when you come together as a couple, you both have different ideas of whose responsibility it is in a marriage to do certain things. And And how do we work how do we finally come together and like work together as one? And we were talking up here that when we first got married, I was the only one that could do anything right. That's just what I thought. And
who's surprised?
He did everything wrong in my eyes. But what happened, and that's because I was a perfectionist, and that's how I was raised. I was raised to be, I mean, my dad was a perfectionist, so that's just how I was raised. He was raised totally different, but anyhow, he would do something, I would go behind and fix it, or I wouldn't let him do it at all because he didn't do it right. And then one of the things that I controlled, and this is right when we first came in the ministry, was the finances. I controlled the finances because I knew he couldn't do it right. And then I'm getting ready to come down here for, it was either a marriage seminar or a women's Bible study. I can't remember. And I bounced 3 or 4 checks. That doesn't happen in my checkbook, in my mind, because that's just because I thought I did everything right. And I look back on that now, and at the time, it was God showing me that I wasn't doing everything right. I was just controlling the situation and not allowing him to function in his portion, function in the role that God gave him in my life. Because in my household, the way I was raised, the woman wore the pants in the family. She ran the show. And everything was out of order. Our family was crazy. And it wasn't until I came into this ministry I realized and was taught that God gives us a head for a reason. Because when you're married, you have a lot of times in a marriage, when you first get married, you get Mr. Ego and Mrs. Emotional. And I was a wreck, and I needed his guidance. So God allowed situations to come in to break me, so that I would finally just surrender and then just let him function in the position that God had for him, if that makes any sense. And I was telling Morgan, I just want to share this quickly, is I was telling Morgan that it took me learning to love myself even in those mistakes, even when I wasn't, everything was perfect, that it was part of the plan, that I was able to love him and to love other people. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think as the man, what you have to do in that situation, right, is beat her over the head and say, why did you bounce checks? Right? But no, what you do is you love them through it, right? You love them through it because that's what Christ does for us. When we make those mistakes, when we have those failures, Christ loves us through it, and so we love them through it. Our next scenario is this. Susie and Jack have different perceptions and thoughts about certain doctrines. How do they reconcile that in their relationship?
Okay, so, all right, I got called on for an answer. I was saying that in this room, probably this question, there's probably not too many people that have that situation in their relationship. Am I correct? I don't know. I mean, possibly you get married to, you know, you get married to somebody and you wake up one morning and they're in the living room and they're speaking in tongues. Like, has anybody had that situation? Maybe. Possibly. I don't know. Then you have to have a discussion. But yeah, doctrinal differences. I mean, I think questions are a good thing. And I think in a relationship, if you don't see eye to eye on certain things, I think that's a good thing. Because we really, if we can go to the Bible and we can say, okay, what is the answer? What's the best answer that we could get if we don't see eye to eye on this? And it really just comes from the Bible. But at the same time, there are gray areas in the Bible when it comes to just day-to-day living and then in relationships as well. But I would say that we have our, like we heard earlier, we have the pulpit. We have the people that are discipling us. But I think at the end of it is that you're always trying never to necessarily win an argument or win your point of view, but you're trying to win the person. Mm-hmm. and you want to be respectful in the sense of what they think and what they're seeing in the scripture. But at the same time, I think it's good. I mean, if you kind of want that in a sense in your relationship, that you're saying, hey, what do you think? Oh, you think that? Well, I think this. Let's just go to the Word and see if we can get a clear answer. And then we can pray together as well if we have an issue. But, I mean, unfortunately, we are so in line because we were raised in this ministry. So at the same time, we don't really have those discussions about tongues and prophecy and dreams and visions. But it could be. Yeah, I don't know if that was a good answer, but that's what our table has.
Yeah. That's
perfect. Yeah, great job. I think many times too is perspective, right? Like you can hear something and you can have two different perspectives upon what you've heard. And you have to, sometimes that needs cleared up. I remember one time I went to watch Dakota play basketball, and we were at another team stadium, and he was playing basketball, and somebody had the ball, and they got pushed out of bounds, but the referee couldn't see it because he was on the opposite side. And a bunch of our parents got, like, infuriated at this referee, and they're screaming and everything, and it was that referee's perspective. He couldn't see the push, right? And yet, so he didn't call it. They called an out of bounds. And it was interesting that spoke to my heart in a great way, that we can have a different perspective. We can both see the same exact thing and get a different perspective. And that's why it's so important that we base our perspective on the clear-cut Word of God. Amen.
I was just thinking about this really quick. I think it's so important that as couples maybe thinking about getting married or you're married, I think it's so important that you study the Word together and think on the Word of God. You know what I mean? I think sometimes you can get in such a routine. We go to church together. We ride in the car home. We don't talk. We turn the radio on. And you know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be. I think it's so important to just chew on the Word together. You know what I mean? Because then you can just talk it out. You know what I mean? Because I think that just allows the things that we heard, like you were saying about perspective, I heard it one way completely different from the message. I got God's grace, but from the message, she got God's love. But when we mix those things back together, we can chew on it together and allow it to make, now I can understand God's love even more towards me, and she can understand God's grace even more towards her because of we're just discussing it and talking together. I think sometimes we miss out on that opportunity, right? Or sometimes maybe we're in the ministry and we get too busy in the ministry, right? And we don't give time to actually just enjoy God's word. Yeah.
I was thinking, he was saying perspective, but I was, or, you know, different, believing different ways, but I was thinking this. When we first came in the ministry, he, not right away, but when he started wanting to go to Africa, there was no way I was going to Africa. And I don't want to say he made me go the first year, but I kind of felt like that, and I went mad. And it was amazing when I look back on it, but I didn't go back for 7 years. But God was calling him to go, and he went. And I didn't stop him. And just like Pastor Schaller said, Justin, he said, we're trying to win the person and not the argument. He didn't force me to go the 7 years that he went. He went without me. And he took the kids with him, you know, the boys with him. And then as he waited, he gave it to God. And God did a work in my heart. And after 7 years of not going, the first time I went to Uganda, it was Nansana. I stood and just wept in the chapel because it was time. It was time. And he was okay. He didn't push me. He loved me up. And you know what? It was open arm welcoming me there. And I love Africa now. Like, I would go back in a minute. I love missions, like, but I didn't. And it's okay not to. Like, Morgan and I talk about this a lot. It's okay. You know, Colton, it's okay. As long, I would never stop him in his calling. I would encourage him and let God do the work in you, and then God will bring it to fruition, I guess. That's what he did with me.
All right, our last scenario for tonight. Sam and Linda are evaluating their relationship. They are searching for what value they feel the relationship will bring to each other. How do they do that? How do they search and find what value they will bring to the relationship?
All right. So I hope we got some good answers at our table. This was a good night, I think. We are going to wrap it up. Thank you guys for being here tonight. This was awesome. I hope it was helpful for people, edifying, challenging. We were at our table like, oh man, that's a really hard question. Do we have to answer this question? Some of them were tough. Yeah, so this was a great night, I think. Thank you all for coming out. It's always good to be with everybody. Tomorrow, I'll go over the schedule real quick. If you're coming back tomorrow, we start at 10 o'clock. We're going to come in here. At 10:15, we'll start the session. The Herbs are going to come back. I guess, maybe. There'll be two sessions tomorrow. We'll have a little break in between two. And then Pastor Schaller will speak. And then when he's done, we're going to go to lunch. For those of you that signed up for the lunch, we're going to go to the Fellowship Hall down there. And when we come back, it will be the couples panel, which will be the Herbs, these ones over here. And then Pastor Roger and Liz are going to join us up here. And then Pastor Justin and Ann Margaret are going to join us too. So that's after lunch. So that will start around 2:15. So if you are not with us for lunch and you're going to go somewhere else and come back and you want to hear the panel, come back by 2:15. At 2 o'clock, we're going to have desserts in the lobby. You're welcome to come back for that part too. So the panel is an interactive panel in terms of if you want to ask a question, submit it through the app, which is on this paper here and in your email that we sent out yesterday. At the bottom, it says to ask panel questions, go to meet.ps/marriage21. And when you log on to that, you will be able to ask questions. There's already a few questions in there. Some people have been submitting them because it's open now. So you can submit questions. If that's a question you would like an answer to, you just hit the vote up button. And the more that question gets voted up, it shows that you want to hear an answer to it. It doesn't mean that even if it doesn't get voted on, we won't ask that question. But so think of the couples that are going to be up here. Think of what you've heard, maybe some questions you would like answered based on their experiences or some other things, and then ask those questions in there, and then I will ask them to them. The questions are anonymous, so feel free to ask what you want without us being like, oh, I know who you are. So you can ask whatever you want to ask. We probably will not get through all of the questions, but that's the forum to go to. And the day will end at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So again, come in here. Tomorrow you'll come in the main doors. Tonight we came in those doors over there. Tomorrow you're going to come in the main welcome doors, okay? And then if you have children in the nursery, this is the time to go pick them up. Feel free to bring them back in here, but let's quickly get them out of the nursery after we pray. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for bringing us all together. And thank you for the portions that we heard tonight and just for the time of fellowship, the time to be together and just hearing from you. Just be in our marriages and in our relationships. Give us the capacity to be teachable and correctable and edifying and just all the important things that go into relationships and marriage. And just help us to be an example to other people. And we just pray over this night as we leave and just ponder and meditate on the things that we heard and prepare us for tomorrow and what we will hear and receive from you. And we thank you. In your name, amen.